Welcome to Menopause in the Kitchen, where we talk all things food and nutrition for women in their midlife years. I'm Rachel Cooper, dietitian and food lover, with a passion for sharing information about nutrition in practical ways so that you can take what you need and implement it into your lifestyle. Join me in my kitchen as I share bite-sized chunks of information to help you nourish your body and thrive in your midlife years and beyond. Welcome back, everyone, to Menopause in the Kitchen. I'm so glad that you're back having another listen to this episode. Today's episode is going to be a kitchen chat. So if you haven't listened to any of these, I've done a couple, I think, so far. These are just, just me having a little bit of a chat about my thoughts about maybe something that I've seen or heard about or potentially, you know, my experience with something. So it's kind of like, you know, sitting down in my kitchen, having a cup of tea or coffee and having a chat with a friend. And yes, I know that it's a bit one-sided and you're only hearing me. But of course, I would love to hear from you if you wanted to send me an email or send me a DM over on socials. More than happy to hear your thoughts on these things as well and your experiences. But as podcasts go, unfortunately, it is a little one-sided. But this is what today's episode is going to be. Just me having a chat about, my experience. And today's topic will be, it's slightly different because it's not necessarily food related, but it still correlates with the non-diet approach to eating, which is something that I promote and that I talk about a lot. So today's episode will be me having a chat about my experience with movement and how I have used the non-diet principles from what I've learned with my eating and applied it to the way that I move my body and the way that I think about movement, exercise, if you want to call it that. I will talk a bit about why I changed my wording to movement. So I'm just going to have a little talk about my experience and how I have related the things that I've learned over many years in terms of eating and using sort of intuitive eating principles and the non-diet approach to how I eat and how I think about eating and about food, and obviously how I then talk to other people about it. But I then used those principles and applied that to the way that I move my body. Because to be honest, for many, many years, I've been using a non-diet approach in my own personal, eating patterns and the way that I think and the way that I choose foods, and obviously have been promoting and talking about that to others. But I didn't necessarily have the same approach to how I moved my body until more recently. And I guess I was still stuck in the diet culture mentality of what exercise or movement needs to look like and how long it should be for and what its purpose is. And although I really work on trying not to think about how it changes my body, to be honest, those sorts of thoughts were still stuck in my head because it's what we're taught. We're taught that you exercise in order to make your body look better, whether that be smaller or whether that be more, you know, toned or whatever. This whole idea of what we're being, the messages that we're being given is that we exercise in order to make our bodies look more appealing. More appealing according to who, I don't know, according to, you know, society and media and all of the rest of it. But Yeah, so I was still stuck in that those thought processes when I was thinking about moving my body. And I've been, for many, many years, I've been one of those people that will be all in and I'll be, you know, yep, I'm going to do whatever it is that I, whatever exercise or, you know, thing that I was into at the time, and I would do it and I'd be, yeah, this is great, this is what, and then I would just lose it and not do anything for quite some time. So I'd have these big gaps in between where I was like on and you know, doing whatever it is that I was into at the time, and then I would just lose it. Often if there was like a change in my routine or something like that sort of happened, and then I sort of lost that kind of momentum, and then that would be it. It'd be gone. Either that, or I would just decide, I'm not really into that anymore. and then I'd go for periods of time where I didn't really do much at all. So I was very up and down, which really reminds me of what dieting is like. You know, you restrict food and you go on this particular diet, and you can do it for a certain period of time, and then, you know, maybe it just gets too hard because whatever you're doing just doesn't fit with your lifestyle. Or maybe, like my experience with exercise, you know, your routine changes or something happens. Maybe you go on holidays or whatever, and then bang, you've lost it, and you're like, okay, I'm done. And then you don't do anything for a while, and then you jump on another one. And that was pretty much what my experience was with exercise. And with reflection, I could look back and sort of think, oh, yeah, I was like yo-yoing up and down, just like people yo-yo with diets where they're on and then they're off and then they're on and then they're off. And that's exactly what I was doing with exercise. So I realized that there were a lot of similarities between how diet culture teaches us to eat, but also how it teaches us to move our body. And so on reflection, I started to really work on, okay, well, what are the thoughts and beliefs and ideas that I have around moving my body, and how can I change those? How can I challenge the things that I've been taught over many, 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 many years, and the things that I still see, you know, how can I challenge that just like I do with food? And so what I did, so some of the things that I found tricky was, in my head, I felt like I had to do a certain amount of exercise, as in the time that I spent moving my body, for it to be worthy or worth it. Worth it for what? I don't know. But again, not everything that, you know, we're being told and the way that we think makes sense when you really break it down and think about it. But, you know, I felt like I had to do at least 30 minutes of exercise for it to be worthwhile. Otherwise, what's the point? What's the point of doing less than that? I don't know why I thought that less was not worthy, but that's kind of what, they're the sort of brainwashing things that get stuck in your head and these stories that we tell ourselves. And so what would happen was, if I was busy and I didn't have the time for 30 minutes of exercise, I just then wouldn't do any, because I'd be like, well, I can't do 30 minutes. So, oh, well, I'm just not going to do it today. And when I started to reflect on that, I realized, how silly is that? That rather than doing, you know, if I couldn't do 30 minutes at least of exercise, then I was doing zero. Surely 10 or 15 minutes or 20 minutes is going to be better than zero. Yet that was not how I was thinking. It was that all or nothing. I've got to do this. Otherwise, well, it's not worth it. I'm just not going to bother. So that was one of the first things that I did, was change my idea about the length of time. There is no length of time you have to do to move your body. Moving your body full stop each day in a way that feels good to you should be the aim. Full stop. That's all. It doesn't matter about the length. And for me, jumping straight to, particularly when I'd maybe had a period of not doing much, you know, going from zero to 30 or 45 minutes was actually a really big jump. And so I started to think, what would I tell, you know, a client of mine if I was in a one-on-one situation about making changes to their lifestyle? I would not say to go from zero to 100, would I? And so I started changing my mindset. I started challenging those thoughts that exercise had to be only 30 minutes or more, and allowed myself to do 10 minutes, even like 10 minutes, just get in the habit of finding a way to move my body even for 10 minutes. That is still beneficial. It still made me feel good. It still gave me energy. And that was the other thing that I did, was really kind of go inwards and notice what I was feeling and how it was making me feel, rather than, which is, I guess, kind of what I would say to people when they're doing, say, intuitive eating, is to look within. How are you feeling? What is your hunger, fullness? Did you feel satisfied? All those sorts of things that I normally talk to people about when it comes to food. I thought, well, I need to be doing this for movement as well. I need to be checking in with myself and going, well, how did that make me feel? Rather than these external rules that I thought that I had to follow. So, you know, I started off with sort of 10 minutes and whatever I could sort of fit in, but that varied depending on the day. And then I'd check in and go, well, how did that feel? I'm like, oh, actually, 10 minutes of moving my body felt really good. I've got some more energy. I'm feeling more relaxed. My head's feeling clearer. And so I started to focus on feeling those changes, no matter what the amount of time I was moving my body for, and noticed that 10 minutes was still giving me very positive benefits and effects in terms of how I felt. And so that reinforced that, oh, okay, I can now challenge that idea that I have to do it 30 minutes or more, that actually for now, if I can only fit in 10 minutes, then that's what I'm going to do, and it's still making me feel good. And so that's where I started. I started there. And I was doing 10 minutes. In fact, I have an online program that I subscribe to, and there's lots of different programs and different timings, which is what I love about this. And this trainer has a non-diet approach, which I think is wonderful. And it's taken me a while to find someone that really resonates with how I like to move my body, and this has certainly worked. And so she has these 10-minute like energizer movement sort of workouts. And so I started doing those, and I started getting in the habit of doing those regularly because I could fit in 10 minutes. And at the time, that was kind of a bit of my limit at the time. And so 10 minutes of doing that and checking in with myself. How did I feel? How did that make me feel? And then I've moved on, and then I sort of went to 20 minutes, and now I am up to half an hour, not because that was my aim, but because I'm now, in terms of my lifestyle and my work and things like that, I've actually got more time to do 30 minutes, and my fitness has improved. So I started at 10, I went to 20, I'm up to 30 because my fitness has improved, and I feel like I can actually do 30 minutes as well. I didn't want to reach for 30 and really not enjoy it because I was finding it so hard. I needed to start somewhere and build my way up. And so now I do, but there are still days and that I do 10 minutes. And I don't do this every day. I don't do the 30 minutes every day. These are just, you know, it might be 2-3 times a week, depending on the week I'm having. But on other days, it might be stretching for 10 minutes. So I'll get on the ground and do some yoga stretches, or it might be a 15 or 20 minute yoga that I do on YouTube, for example. Sometimes I really feel like I need to go for a walk, so I go for a walk. The other day I went for a bike ride. So I like variety, and that is just, that's me. And I think it's important to find what suits you. But for me, variety works. I get bored with doing the same thing. And so, so I've sort of built up to now I move my body most days in some way. It's not that I'm not following those rules of it has to be 30 minutes and I don't beat myself up if it's not. I do what I think I need to do and what I have time to do each day. And like I said, some days it is just, you know, I shouldn't say just, because that makes it sound like it's not enough or not good enough. But some days I will stretch for 10 minutes and that's my movement for the day. Still makes me feel good. It's still, you know, particularly if I've been sitting a lot, if I've been out traveling or driving or sitting at a computer, getting down on the floor, on the mat and stretching my body for 10 minutes really does make me feel so much better. I can really feel it in my body. So I'm really focusing on not those rules about what exercise should look like and how long it should be. I guess the other thing is about, I used to think that it needed to be really sort of strenuous, that I needed to be really huffing and puffing. Now, of course, cardio and getting your heart rate up and so on is very good for your health. I'm not saying that that's not important. But it isn't the only thing we need to do when it comes to movement. So I mix it up. Sometimes I am huffing and puffing and getting my heart rate up. But other days I am stretching. And that doesn't necessarily get my heart rate up, but it still makes my body feel good. So I'm really focusing on not those rules and ideas that I've been fed all my life about how you should move your body and what exercise should look like. And focusing on more, what can I fit into my day? What is realistic for me? And what do I actually feel like? And that comes down to using that intuitiveness. So when it comes to eating, I teach intuitive eating where you're sort of thinking about what you feel like eating. Do you want something sweet? Do you want something savory? Crunchy, smooth? You know, just really kind of checking in with yourself about what it is that you feel like eating when you're having a meal or a snack. And I've translated that and do the same thing with moving my body, in that I think, what does my body need today? I'm looking within rather than externally. I've never been good at following exercise programs that other people have written. For some people, I know that can work, and you may find that that's perfect for you. For me personally, does not work, because from day to day I feel different and my needs are different, and what I feel like doing in terms of moving my body varies. And if I'm following a program, that just doesn't work for me, because I end up pushing myself to do something that my body doesn't feel like it really needs, and then I kind of give up anyway. And so I look within and think, what does my body need? And there are days where I am exhausted. You know, I am really tired. My body just feels lethargic and tired. And there's two different types of tired that I've noticed in going through this process. Is one is I am physically really drained and exhausted. And in that sense, I might do yoga or stretching or something like that, just to kind of check back in with my body and sort of get it moving and stretching, but nothing too strenuous. But there are other days where my tiredness is different. It's more like a lethargic, foggy kind of tiredness. And I'm not necessarily like physically drained and tired. It's just I'm feeling a bit blah. And in fact, sometimes when I feel like that, doing something energetic helps me. And now this may not work for you, but I'm just telling you my story, and it'd be good for you to sort of reflect on your own, you know, what does it feel like for you? And you don't have to have all the answers. If you're not sure if something energetic is the right thing for how you feel, just give it a go. And then just notice, was that right? Did that make me feel better, or did it make me feel even more tired and lethargic? And that's how you learn. You just give it a go if you're not quite sure. But I find on some days when my brain is just like I just feel foggy and blur and tired, but not necessarily physically. I find that doing something a bit more energetic, like a bit of an energy booster type, you know, workout or something like that, or it could be getting out for a walk in the cool air and the fresh air and the sunshine, it kind of gets me going. It gets my brain switched back on and I'm feeling more alert and focused and that sort of thing. So some days that's what I actually need. Some days I feel like, you know, strength training is what I really want to do. So I want to feel strong. I want to work my muscles and get them really going. And so then I do like a strength workout of some sort with some weights or whatever. The other day, the weather is beautiful at the moment. It's turned into autumn and the mornings are just fabulous. I love autumn mornings. And I was thinking, I really feel like I want to get outside to move my body today. But I didn't actually feel like walking. I was like, I don't know if I feel like a walk. So we jumped on the bike and I went for a ride instead. So, you know, that's where being intuitive about not just your eating, but how you move your body can help you to check in and do what it is that feels good for you in the moment, rather than what someone else tells you you should be doing. This is my experience. And like I said, I do know of people who need structure, who actually thrive on structure and having a program or having some kind of thing that they follow, even if it's something that they make up themselves. And that is fine if that works for you. My experience, it just doesn't. So for those of you who have tried that and it doesn't work, and you're very off and on, like I used to be, you know, try this other way of, you know, rather than having that structure or planning out your movement for the week, just have an idea in your head that I'm going to move my body in some way each day, and then check in with how you're feeling each day as to how much time do I have and how much energy do I have? What does my body really feel like today? And then kind of working it out from there. So if structure and routines and all that sort of thing does not work for you, this is another option that you can give a go and see what you think. The other thing I just wanted to have a chat about is why I tend to say movement rather than exercise. And I've kind of alternated as I've gone along, probably should have maybe explained this at the start, but I changed my wording to movement because for me, and I think many people can probably relate to this, exercise has this kind of idea of what it should look like. And that's where I think the diet culture and the media and all of that kind of feeds us this idea that this is exercise, that it's sweaty, that it's, you know, you got to be dressed in, you know, the gear. And I'll tell you what, I'm often, this morning I did stretching and I was in my pajamas. So, you know, we're fed this idea of how you should look when you exercise and what exercise should look like and what kind of exercise is exercise. So for me personally, when I use the word exercise, it automatically took me to those things, those visions and those ideas that have been fed to me over many, many years. And so by changing the word to movement, it helped me to ditch the idea of what that should look like and think of movement as I'm moving my body. It doesn't have to look any particular way. It doesn't have to be for any particular length of time. It doesn't have to be a certain type of movement. It is just movement. So now when I have a diary that I, you know, one of the things in my diary is sort of movement. Have I moved today? And in previous times I'm not very good at kind of checklists and tracking or anything like that. And I'm not a big fan of tracking because of the way that diet culture has taught us to track. However, for some people, having a bit of a reminder each day, whether that is in your diary or on your phone or a sticky note, you know, somewhere around the house or wherever, on your computer or whatever, I just say movement. And really, that's just my reminder that each day I will find a way to move my body. And because I have changed the way I think about that and what I think movement should be, and I've taken away those expectations of the fact that it needs to be a certain length of time and so on, now that doesn't seem it doesn't seem hard to me anymore to see that reminder of movement each day and just go, oh, yep, I need to do some movement today. I feel more positive about it because I get to choose how I move my body each day. I get to choose how long I will move my body each day. And so it feels more doable. Whereas in the past, when I tried to sort of record or, you know, track my exercise or, you know, have a reminder for exercising each day. Notice how I've now changed my wording to exercise because that's how I thought then. It used to be stressful for me and I'd be like, oh God, no. And then I'd feel really bad and I'd feel guilty, very much like dieting, isn't it? When you've maybe eaten something that your diet said you shouldn't, or you've eaten more that your diet said, and you feel guilty, and then you start to feel bad about yourself. And that's how I felt about exercise. But now that I've changed my mindset and my thinking about movement and changing the word to movement, I know it's just a word and it's the same thing, but in my head it's not. It helps me to think about it differently. When I see my reminder of movement in my diary, it's not scary. I don't feel guilty. I'm just like, oh yeah, cool, yep, I've movement. That's my little reminder. Move my body today. And I get to choose how that is. And then I tick it off. And there's no expectation that it's got to look a certain way or be a certain amount of time. It's literally just, yep, I did some movement. Like I took some time, whether it be 5-10 minutes or more, to move my body in some way that makes me feel good. And then I tick it off. And so that feels so much nicer than, what it used to feel like. And, you know, you don't have to track or have reminders and tick boxes or whatever. I didn't do it because it helps me. It's a little just a prompt and reminder for me to go movement, you know, movement today. For some people, they need prompts and reminders to eat. I don't have that issue. You know, I'm very good at eating regularly and eating regular meals and so on. That's not an issue for me. But movement is slightly different. And I can sometimes go through the day, particularly if I'm working or busy or engrossed in something, and then I get to the end of the day and go, oh, I haven't moved my body, or I hop into bed and I think, oh, I didn't do it today. And I don't feel guilty. I'm like, oh, well, that's okay. I'll just, you know, I'll move on and tomorrow's another day. But so for me, I find reminders help. It, again, there's no expectation. It's not like I'm monitoring myself and trying to, you know, reach a certain, I don't know, level of whatever. It's literally just written in my diary, movement, and I give it a tick when I have actually done it. Just kind of helps me remember to make that part of my day. Anyway, I'll leave it there, and that's really what I have come to at this point, and this is where I'm at right now, and I'm feeling really good about it. I'm feeling good about checking in with myself. I'm feeling good about how my body feels when I'm moving. I sort of notice how I feel afterwards. And like I said, you know, sometimes it's really good for my brain and it's really good for my focus and my energy levels and things like that. But also, you know, I'm at the age where my body gets sore and tense and tired and stiff and stretching and doing some kind of movement like that really can help me feel more free and less, you know, less achy and painful. So it's all about looking at what are the benefits, what is it doing for me, and how am I feeling. And then obviously we know that moving your body regularly has lots of health effects in terms of, you know, your risk of a whole wealth of different things, chronic diseases and so on. So we know that, yes, it will be good for us in the long run. And the other thing that I like to think about, not just disease focus, is what kind of quality of life do I want when I get older? I want to be able to still get out in my garden when I'm old, you know, when I'm elderly. I want to be able to go and do my own shopping and carry my shopping bags, you know, from the car into the house. I want to be able to get up off the chair easily, go for walks, all those sorts of things. So they're the other things that I focus on. It's not about how I look. It's not about my body shape, size, and whatever. It's about keeping my body strong and as fit as it can be. I mean, I'm not aiming for super fitness. I'm just aiming for being able to do the things that I want to do in my life and have a good quality of life as I age. And I think that's really important, having that strength. And yes, of course, it's preventing diseases down the track, but it's also just those everyday things that we should also focus on, that I want to be strong enough and I want to have the energy to be able to do these things in my everyday life that I enjoy and continue to do them as I get older. So that's kind of where my mind goes and where I focus on when I'm thinking about how is this benefiting me, not just in the immediate you know, time, like right now, but how is it going to benefit me down the track? So I hope that was helpful. I hope that my experience and the way that I have worked through applying a non-diet approach to the way that I move my body might get you to think a little bit about how you experience moving your body. Maybe this isn't an issue for you. Maybe the food side of things is more of an issue and not the movement, or maybe you've got it sort of, you're feeling good about both. But I just, yeah, I wanted to share that, although, you know, I'm a dietitian and I've worked a lot around the non-diet approach with my eating. It's been a more of a work in progress when it comes to moving my body, but I feel like I'm at a really, really good point now and it's feeling great. And I just wanted to share it so that you might be able to pick up a few things that I spoke about and try to apply it to yourself if you think that might be supportive and helpful. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there and I'll be back with another episode. The next episode will be about a particular nutrition related topic. So I hope to be back in your ears very soon. And just a reminder that if you haven't already, head over to my website and have a look at my blog posts. I've got a number of blog posts there that you can read about. And I also have a free ebook if you subscribe to my email list. So when you go onto my website, there should be a pop-up that comes up and you can subscribe. You'll get a free ebook, which is an introduction to nutrition for perimenopause and menopause. So if you'd like that as a resource, go ahead and check it out. And I don't send emails very often, only once a month. You'll be the first to know if I've got anything new happening as well. So, you know, I normally sort of send out that email to my subscribers and let them know of anything new first. And then, of course, I'm over in socials, Facebook and Instagram. So head over there. It's midlife_nutrition. I'll put all the links down below in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.